Hey everybody, it is Two Legs. It's the live edition of Two Legs. Tom here with my boy Andy. Andy, what's going on?
You ready for volume 11, partner? Volume
Volume
11.
11 of ranking the tracks. We are ranking McCartney 2, 1980, and we're here with a special guest, a mystery guest. We don't know who this guest is yet. We're gonna wait a couple more seconds here before we reveal said mystery guest. So just hold on one more second. We're gonna wait till see if a couple people show up
Yeah,
here,
let's.
and
We'll give it a second here in the old comments. But yeah, we're here for volume 11
yeah.
of ranking the tracks. We're already into the 1980s.
I
Wow,
can't believe it's going quick, huh?
it's going very quick. It's going very
Speaking of
quick.
the 1980s, I was at my record store yesterday and I found Broad Street on cassette. So,
Oh, jealous. Did you play it yet?
no, not yet, no. But it's the same one I had back in I think like 88, area, the classic dark white or stone color cassette looking thing or whatever,
Oh,
I used to
nice.
love I used to I love the clear cassettes. I love them when they switched it to like a clear cassette. I thought that was great.
The
I
clear
love that.
cassette.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Very cool.
But
Hold on one sec
yeah,
here. I got
okay.
to refresh. Hold on. As our mystery guest is still holding his album cover up. Hold on.
Wait, it is Paul, isn't it?
Maca. No, hold
Hey.
on. Hold on. Here
Okay.
we go. I had to get here. I had to get the right feed up. There we go. I was in a different browser.
Gotcha.
I was in a different browser. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. Well, nobody's chatting yet, so we might as well start.
All right, mystery guest, go ahead and reveal yourself, please. Hey.
What's going on?
Hey. How you
Oh
doing, Ethan?
man. Oh man. Good
Oh
story about
man.
your cassette there.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's
So,
not
we
like I had to
have
hold up a record.
the one and only Ethan Alexanian, who is the
Yes.
great host of the Fans on the Run podcast, as a guest host for this week's installment of Ranking the Tracks.
Yes,
So,
and
welcome.
yes, welcome, Ethan. Normally, this would just be Andy and I, but Ethan has been doing such a great job with
Free slave
our th
labor.
yes, free slave child labor, actually, if
Even better.
you
Well, not child, I'm 18.
You are 18 now, so yeah, but he's been doing such a great job with the thumbnails that we thought we'd have him on and show our appreciation for the great, excuse me, the great work he's done. So Ethan, thank you for doing that for us, and welcome to this installment of Ranking the Tracks.
Happy to be here.
So talk about that those thumbnails. I mean, are those easy for you to do?
Define easy.
Well, how long in general does it usually take you to do?
Well, consistently, one of the hardest parts is cutting you two out of your frames. And
Okay.
I really love the aesthetic you have here with the uneven lighting between the two of you. So it makes it really fun for me to match in Photoshop.
Well, we try to keep it the all right, so we got the chat in YouTube is not working. Tom Brennan just sent me a message. I why is that not working? Ethan, can you see it?
I can see a chat box,
But
Yeah, is
there's no
there a
chat.
yeah.
There's no chat.
Hold on, give it a
Should I
second.
go to Facebook and start harassing people there?
No,
No.
because we're not on Facebook.
Oh, I don't know where we are. I don't know
What?
where I am.
I don't know why this
Who are
isn't.
you people?
Why this is this not? Why is the chat not working? That's a big part of our show, and I don't. Why is that? Live chat is available. Okay, refresh. Why is this not? Hello, test. Test, test, test. Well, I just put a message in there.
I see your test.
All right,
Okay,
you
but
see your
why?
test.
Let me test.
Yeah,
All
you
right.
test. Go ahead and test.
Oh, there we go. Joe just popped in there
Hey,
now. Okay,
Joe.
all
There
right.
we
So,
go.
did I have to actually do that first? That was
Maybe.
weird. Now, okay, here we go. Tom, yeah. Hi,
There
George.
we
Morning,
go.
Terry. Why was
Hi,
that weird
George.
tonight?
I
That
don't
was
know.
Morning, Terry.
There we
Anyways,
go. Well,
there we
sorry.
go.
Sorry about that little snafu there, people in TV land. Oh, there's our usual Susan, Day
Daytripper,
Tripper,
I've been
Hudson.
here. Be I was here before you were.
Hudson, Jamie. Yeah, don't know why. That's a first for us. We've never had the comments just disabled like that. But Dave Tripper says, Tom, check your email when you get a chance.
Okay.
That's vague Will and do. Ominous.
Will do.
Tell me how you really feel.
I have a name, Owen.
Owen. Listen, yes, this is for those of you who are late, this is Ethan Alexanian, not question mark, question mark, question mark.
I could go by question mark, like how Prince went by that symbol.
Oh, there you go. He's the question mark.
But yeah, if you missed it, Ethan has his own podcast, and he does all the thumbnails that you see that we post on our pages, and he does a great job with those, and we wanted to have him on here because McCartney 2 is also a favorite album of his as well. So
yeah, so let's talk about McCartney 2. Ethan, what do you like about McCartney 2? Why did you gravitate towards that album?
It's so weird. I can't say I've always been a fan of McCartney's kind of sappy love song type thing.
Yes, you are.
And when I first kind of put this album on, it's like, oh, wow, this is a nice change of pace. And in a weird kind of roundabout way, it shaped my taste for some other things. I'll mention some bands kind of later on in the show for specific songs. It's like, okay. Oh, that kind of sounds like that.
Mm.
Which I know Paul was probably... Yeah, right. Possibly ripping off.
Maybe. You never know.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's just it's such a funky one because it's so different, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
And when you judge it on those terms, it's just it's a famous guy just locked away, just having a ball. I think
right.
if you look at this and try to compare it to Tug of War, it's gonna lose every time. But on its own,
yeah,
you know.
You definitely need an open mind while listening to this album. And this was a grower for me. I mean, I've had it for a long time. I listened to it on occasion, not a lot, but since the archive collection came out in 2011, I've really gained more appreciation for the album. Absolutely.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. See, for me, it's been, you know, it's part of the canon for me for the last 30 years. I love it now as much as I did when I was a kid. So
right.
I mean, you know, so I'd be very curious to see where everybody ranks these tracks. It's not a long one, 11 tracks. So we should get through it fairly quickly.
Right.
There might be some controversy on where people have certain songs ranked. I'm very,
yeah. So everybody,
Jamie says, can't wait to see where you guys, bogey music.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Jamie,
you may
have to wait a while.
Yeah. I want everybody to have their big boy pants on tonight. I mean, don't be too sensitive about where we might have some of these tracks. I mean, I know some people are passionate about some of these songs on the album, but this is just the way we feel about these songs, you know, right now.
Yeah, as we like them right now. So McCartney, Tom Brennan says McCartney 2 is fun to listen to, like all the weird voices Paul does on Darker.
Yeah.
Just, you know, all the different vocal effects, and forget about all the plethora of the outtakes and B-sides that are available from this album, as we heard. Just, you know, Check My Machine, and which we know
Secret Friend, you know. So some B-sides that we'll be doing at the non-album tracks, you know, when we're done with the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll get the ranks. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, hi, George.
Morning, Terry.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. So, all right.
All right. So let's kick it off. Andy, your odds. So you start the show.
Number 11 for me is this one. Nobody knows. I'm very curious where our co-host and our guest co-host has this one. Comments. John Lennon liked the vocal effects. Nobody knows. Again, as we do this show every week, most of these songs, unless we really, really hate it, and Tom and I are like, this song just stinks, and like we did with some of those instrumentals, where it's like they're horrible, so we're going to put them that low. All these songs are listenable and enjoyable in their own way. Just Nobody Knows is, you know, it's the least. It's the one I'd like least. That's the only way I could say it. You know, funky lyrics, Samson and Delilah going to do that. You know, that's pretty fun. You know, but it's definitely, there's definitely better songs than this. Comments. Let's see. Paul rarely throws away an idea. This is like a peek into Paul's little mind. People who say John was the experiment are wrong. Well, we know that.
Well, he was, but I mean, I think Paul was, you know.
Yeah.
I think a little better at it at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Susan has Nobody Knows as her number 10. Okay, so now we're going to kick it to our guest co-host.
Ethan, yes, what do you got? Number 11, buddy.
Well, I'm excited to start off the controversy. My number 11 is One of These Days.
Oh, come on.
Look at the time.
Gotta go. Sorry, bye. My Wi-Fi cut out. Bye.
I told you.
Now, if it was the Floyd One of These Days, you'd have it at number 1, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, it wasn't an episode of The Sopranos.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dum, 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 dum. I would have it at number 1. You're right.
Yeah.
But this is just, if I may quote Jack Black from the movie High Fidelity, sappy, sentimental crap.
Ooh. Okay.
Actually, you know, it's not that bad. It's just, it's not what I like on this album.
Because you like the other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the one I like the least.
Wow. Way to kick it off.
Let the controversy begin, Thomas.
Yeah. What's your email address so people can send hate mail your way?
Sure. It's fansontherunpodcast@gmail.com. My home address is...
Man.
Okay, right off the bat, I thought mine was going to be a zinger off the bat, but I ended up changing my mind. Excuse me. Nobody Knows as well. I like every song. I like to love every song on this album. But yeah, Nobody Knows. I dig some of the guitar playing, you know, in the track, but that's about it, you know.
Right. Nothing else going on in that song.
Yeah, nothing really going much going on. Yeah.
It's musically bare.
Yes.
Okay. Let's catch up on comments. 11 was Nobody Knows for Jamie as well. Right. Susan had it at 10. It was Tom Liverani's number 3.
Wow.
Hudson had One of These Days as his 2. So does Tom Brennan. So okay. For those of you keeping scorecard at home.
Right.
Okay.
I can't guarantee 10. I'm going to be very popular tonight.
Probably not. Okay. Number 10 for me. On the Way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That means Tom has it way higher with that expression on his face.
By showing my hand.
You are. Don't play poker. I know you live close to Vegas out there, but don't go play because you can't play it.
No.
It's a good little jam. Again, it's a song I'm not going to skip in terms of the sequencing of the record. It's the third track. It's just too bluesy. And, you know, you go from coming up, Temporary Secretary, then this... And then Waterfalls. To me, it just maybe if it was on side 2, maybe I would like it better. Good little riff. I mean, as you hear here going on, and again, all these songs, he's got some kind of crazy vocals going on every one of these tracks.
Right.
So it's enjoyable, but it doesn't do anything for me in terms of the blues riff. That's all.
Okay. 10, Ethan.
Ooh. Oh, very cool. Hold on there. Bill Leary says he loves that one. B.B. King did a good version of this.
Yes. Wow. On the Arts of McCartney. B.B. King did the cover of this, yeah.
Wow, good to know. Yeah. Cool. Yes. Thank you, Bill Leary. Ethan.
Continuing the controversy, my number 10 is Waterfalls.
Okay, off to a great start.
It's the C previous answer for details. It's just this one has a bit more going on, and it's you know, I don't hate the song. I don't hate the song. In fact, I actually like it better than almost all of Red Rose Speedway.
Okay.
But it's in an album. Shut up, Kevin.
You got to tell him what the comment is.
It says, "I think you're just being a troll at this point." I can assure you wholeheartedly, I'm not. I'm just a snarky teenager.
Okay.
A comment. Waterfalls kind of lingers. Okay. It does.
Okay.
It's something that kind of goes on with McCartney songs. He does not know when to end a song. It just kind of goes on and on and on.
Okay.
Under the covers. No, I'm not trolling.
Oh, he's not trolling. Damn.
I'm hurt. I'm hurt that I'm being attacked.
He's being a hater, not a troll.
Let's see. I respect your opinion, but no, that's not.
I'm not hating. This is my favorite album.
Jamie says McCartney album. Jamie says this could be the best ranked the tracks episode. LOL.
I agree. I agree.
All right, Thomas. Ten for me. Listen, there's three songs on here that they're those really slow songs that sometimes feel like nails on a chalkboard. The first one for me is a Summer's Day song. Oof. Now, the best part about this song is what, Andy? For me, the mellotron.
The mellotron.
It's the best part, I think, of this song.
It's all over this record.
Yeah.
So you probably dig the instrumental version a lot more, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this for me, the lyrics do nothing for me. It's just but it's too slow. It's really just too slow for, again, you know, to Ethan's point on maybe like on Waterfalls. I mean, it's really just, you know, slow music. I mean, it's just,
you can't picture yourself walking like in a park finding like
not to this one.
Oh boy,
I got one, you know, coming up at that. Yeah, I'll definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so this one is just too slow for you.
Yeah. But the mellotron is done perfectly on.
And
this,
the sampling of the flutes, yeah. Tremendous, right? Mm-hmm. Almost very Strawberry Fields-esque in a way.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
So I know. That was Tom's number 10.
Yes.
Okay. A quick comment from David, our friend David Jackson from the UK. Hi, lads from the UK. I certainly think Waterfalls doesn't fit into the album. It's too conventional. It's too much of a conventional Mac.
Well, it is, because I mean, it was written prior to the. It was the only song written prior to the making of this album.
True. Okay. Tom Brennan, Summer's Day song is supposed to be slow. It's a great waking up song. I agree.
Yeah, okay.
Jamie, Summer's Day is 4 for him or her. All sorry, right. Jamie.
Yeah.
Don't know. Kevin, I think Summer's Day song is just Paul showing off his melody writing skill. I think it's great, but he agrees it would be bottom half of the album like you.
Okay. Thank you.
Number 9 for me is this one. Dark Room. Which means Tom's had this. He's got this a lot higher. Again, very like good little jam, but I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me, you know, in terms of everything else. I like other stuff a hell of a lot more. You know, again, all this music on this album is musically adventurous, in my opinion. It's just a matter of what does one like more. Listen to, I mean, all the different effects you hear on here that he's doing is awesome. It just, I don't know. To me, it just kind of just, it's again, it this drags towards the end of the album for me. Mm. I like how it speeds up.
Right.
You know, yeah. That's pretty cool. Owen says, how could you? I love Darkroom. Sorry. Sorry. And then, you know, and it's got that ooh, 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 ooh thing at the end.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Which is great. But I just like other stuff too much more. So over to you, Ethan, number 9.
My number 9 is Nobody Knows. This is the kind of turning point in my list where it goes from I don't really like the songs to I really like the songs. It's just a matter of putting them in a specific order.
Right.
This is why I also may not be a great guest for this, because I'm not good at articulating my thoughts. it kind of feels like a bit of a space age Lady Madonna 1985 type thing. Paul's got that voice going on. I really dig it.
Okay, fair enough.
Like a lot of the songs on this record, and this is kind of one of them, it's almost normal, but there's just like one or two things that make it not.
Of course, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Comments here. Dark Room. Jamie says Dark Room is number one. This is going to be controversial.
No, hey, I think that's a cool number one myself. Hey,
Jamie, I'm the only one allowed to be controversial here.
Okay. Thomas?
Because I am a troll after all.
Well, listen, I was going to be very controversial today, and this track that I'm going to announce here in a second was going to be my number 11, but after listening to the album again one more time today, I decided to put two behind it, which is fine. But, sorry, Waterfalls. Again, just like Summer's Day song, it's a little too slow, a little too long, and, I like it, but I mean, it's never been like a go-to track for me ever. A little bit of a ripoff from America's I Need You, you know, like Flower Needs a Rain, you know, I Need You. And then it's the same kind of concept here with the chorus on this track.
Good observation.
You know, but other than that, you know, it's fine. Again, at almost 5 minutes, if you bring this down to like 3.5 minutes,
which is what the single edit was.
Yeah. So, you know, but we're ranking the studio version here.
Correct.
You know? And it just goes on too much, or too, you know, too long.
Too long.
Yeah.
See, I love that.
No, listen, his singing is fine.
But even like the leave, like the synthy, like the bassy synth.
No, I don't care for it. I mean, I love the synth work on this album. It would be the
standout track on a different album.
Yeah, no kidding. And the synth work is great, but there's other better synth work on here, I think.
If it was on Broad Street, we'd all be putting it at like number one.
Oh, well,
this is the best thing Paul did.
No, not ahead of No More Lonely Nights.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. Okay, number
eight
for me. We have another. We have an instrumental, and that is Frozen Jap.
Yeah,
which is probably middle of the road. I'm gonna guess for maybe a couple of my co-hosts here tonight. There's other instrumentals on here. One other one that I like a lot more, which we talked about. Again, nothing adventurous too much. We know that he probably, you know, made a mistake by calling it Frozen Jap and should have called it Frozen Japanese. Let's catch up on some comments here. Waterfalls, what did it chart? Somebody asked.
It didn't chart.
Cool single, though, with the artwork.
It's great. You have the hands and then the waterfall. Yeah, great artwork. Yeah.
Susan commented that TLC group liked Waterfalls enough to borrow it for their own song.
Hey, I'm
had
surprised.
That exact observation.
I'm surprised Paul they didn't did. Sue. I'm surprised Paul didn't sue them.
Yeah. David says Paul's hair and sweater on the video also account for Waterfall's low position. Yeah, it was all messed up. For
good
him.
Point there, my friend. I like that. I like that a lot.
Oh, and he did rename it Japanese for the Japanese market. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a collector's item for you. Yeah, good little song. You know, I like Fun Paula better, but that's all. That's why it's number eight. Middle of the track listing for me. Ethan.
My number eight. And
one sec. Waterfall's got the 12 in the UK. So there, both of you.
Yeah, but it didn't start here.
I don't care about here.
Sure
I don't care
do.
About here. No, not really.
Okay.
UK. They know.
I lived in Liverpool for a year.
They know what's up. Two, actually. Sorry. They know what's up over there.
All right. Number eight, Ethan.
My number eight is Dark Room. See, there's a couple songs on the record that kind of hit me the same way. It kind of felt a little repetitive after...
Well, there's a lot of songs on here that are repetitive.
No, I mean, it kind of felt like more of the same after, you know, On the Way.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
It kind of reminds me of that,
okay,
which I liked a lot more, as you will be able to tell by my list going forward.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it. I like the weird voices at the end. The weird stuff makes the record for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Waterfalls got to 106 in Billboard. So, as usual.
Didn't chart.
Oh, Well, Tom, I just noticed a comment. Would you like Waterfalls better on Back to the Egg? Yes. If I would like better on Side 2, the Back to the Egg.
I wouldn't put it on that.
Well, it would make Side 2 better.
Well, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Side 2 of Back to the Egg needs all the help it can get.
Not really.
Well, yes. Oh. Oh, wait. Hold on. No, I just saw a comment that I really agreed with, but then it just got removed, and it was for a different song.
After the Ball, I mean, we did this last week, but 2 weeks ago, whatever, but After the Ball and Million Miles and Winter Rose Love Awake, those don't do it for you?
Nope.
Oh, see.
Listen, so in the great book,
Go.
He Wants to Hold You, Chip.
I can't hold the PDF.
Listen, what does he say? Okay. Waterfalls suffered the fate of being Paul's first single to not chart in the U.S. There you go. First single did not chart in the U.S.
Take that.
This is coming from.
We don't know if that. Well, listen. There's a lot of that could be. That needs to be fact checked.
Okay.
All right. So, Tom, I think you're up.
Okay, number 8, I believe, and we got the same as you there, Andy, Frozen Jap. I dig the two instrumentals on here a lot. But like you, I like the other one a little bit better. But, yeah, Frozen Jap, I think, is really interesting. It's got some really cool things going on. It wasn't going to be called, like, Mount Fuji 2 or something like that, I think was an early working title. But which might have been just, you know, a better title altogether than Frozen Japanese or Frozen Jap or whatever, you know. But again, I think it's pretty interesting. And you know, I think it's one of his better instrumentals for sure.
Yeah, let's catch up on some comments here. Let's see. Not chart means missing the top 100. That's what Tom Brennan says. So it charted. Right. It just wasn't in the top 100.
There
so,
you go. Okay.
Okay. It was on the bubbling under chart. Okay. Number 7 for me. And I definitely know that our guest is going to have this song higher. And I listened.
Can I just say first? I want to say something about a comment before.
Go, please.
Yeah, Christian Dahl, I completely agree with you. And I that was in my notes. That was in my notes.
What? Read the comment.
Adam Ant's Goody Two Shoes sounds like bogey music.
Mm.
Okay. Which okay. It doesn't hurt the song because I love Goody Two Shoes by Adam Ant.
That's a great track. Yeah.
Well, speaking of bogey music, that's my number 7.
Okay.
This is just, and I almost was going to redo my list today. I listened to the album 3 times and I'm like, this is a damn good song. I just like the other 6 more and I just couldn't squeeze this in anywhere. But out of all the wacky, wacky songs, this one is the absolute best.
Oh, it's the wackiest, I think, maybe.
It's the wackiest of them all. It really is. And if my other choices weren't so locked in, I would have put this in my top 5 easily. It's so good. I wish I could have put it a little bit higher. I remember playing this one time, and my dad was like, what the hell are you listening to? I said, Dad, it's your record. I was a kid. I'm like, it's your album. I said, Paul McCartney? He said, yeah. He goes, get the hell out of here. I said, no, it is. It's, you know, and the way it ends, you know it, sucker.
Sucker.
I mean, it's craziness. It's so out there. It's so good. But for me, it's 7.
Good, good, good.
Ethan?
What number are we on? Just for
7.
7.
Number 7, I have Front Parlor.
Mm. Okay.
When I re-listen to this, now, Andy, don't play too much of the song. I don't want this episode to get, you know, struck by the copyright gods.
Well, we've perfected that to a science.
Okay.
So.
You know, instrumental synth track. There's a band I have props with me that I think Paul probably took quite a bit of inspiration from.
Okay.
Kraftwerk.
Ah, yeah. Okay. All right.
It sounds a lot like Kraftwerk to me. Hmm. Like something that you can find on, what's the name of Trans Europe Express?
Yeah, they're on there too.
With this song, I love it. But all I had in my notes was synths, lovely synths.
Yeah, the synths are great on it. And you had it at what, 7?
Yeah. Wait, no, I had it. At, yeah. So.
Oh, Fran Nichols checked in and said hi.
Hey,
hi,
what's going on? How you doing?
Quite all right. Jamie asked, would you have like checked my machine to open the album? Ooh, good question. Ethan would have.
Actually, no, I wouldn't. Okay. He can't be coming up. It's an opener.
No.
Good observation. Definitely sounds like Kraftwerk. Yeah. Very Kraftwerk. A little very Autobahn. You have that album, yeah. Autobahn by Kraftwerk?
I don't have that album, but I love Autobahn.
That's a great one by Kraftwerk. Okay. Very, very similar. And he actually said as much in an interview, I think, in when this came out. He actually referenced Kraftwerk being influenced by them a little bit. I think it was in the Rolling Stone that article that came out when this album came out. And he was talking about influences at the time, and he mentioned them. So yeah, good observation. So Tom, good for you. Number seven.
I'm gonna mirror what Ethan said. Front Parlor. Again, the you know the first thing Paul worked on for this album. I dig it. I love that. I mean, what are the sound effects on here are terrific. The synth work is excellent. And excuse me, and it really groovy. I dig it, man. I love the whole thing. A little bit better than Frozen Jap. I like Frozen Jap a lot too, but this is just really good.
Very, very, this very adventurous. Good. Very adventurous track.
Have you guys gotten to the point in the album where it's like you like the songs, but it's more a matter of like, where am I going to put them?
Pretty much.
Oh, by this point in time, in the mid pack, yeah, the mid pack for me was definitely tough to rank. Absolutely.
The middle stuff.
That kind of flute loop or whatever noise, yeah, I really dig that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, on the deluxe edition from 2011, you get an extended cut of this, which goes on for another minute or two, which is what that would have been nice to get on the proper album, too, you know? So, that's funny. So, you both had Front Parlor at 7. I have it at 6.
Tom's frozen.
Tom is frozen. Oh, no, he's back.
Yeah, he's unfrozen.
He was frozen. You both had it at 7. Now it's my this is my 6. So we kind of it kind of flows together. Similar spots where we had it all ranked. Probably for all the same reasons why we like it. It's almost like it could be like a radio jingle for you know that you'd hear for a commercial, you know. Lot going on this one. You almost think it would get like a Twin Freaks, you know, part of that pre-show music that he does.
Oh yeah.
But it's not. Right. Some of the other stuff on this album is, but that one's not. Not. But I've always dug Front Parlor. I believe it opens up side two, right? It's the first track on side two.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is So that's my number 6.
All right.
Excellent. To Ethan. 6. Well,
my number six. It's that mid part, you know, side two, Frozen Jap.
Okay. So we're all very close here.
I mentioned Kraftwerk when talking about Front Parlor. There's a band I want to mention here because when I first heard this, or when I re-listened to it, I thought this sounds a lot like Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Can't say I'm familiar.
It's do you know who Ryuichi Sakamoto is?
No,
that's familiar. Name
it's familiar. Basically Japanese Kraftwerk.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You know,
we got a comment. David from the UK says, I was wrong, Andy. Waterfalls got to number 9. Serves you right, Tom. Rock Show was the first McCartney single not to chart in the UK. Yeah, you can't discount the UK. Well, it didn't chart.
I don't. But I'm saying here it didn't chart. It didn't hit the top 100.
Thank you. But you can't discount just because we're not there.
Oh, I don't. You know. I recognize Mullet and Tyre being a number one hit.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. You should.
Has anyone ever actively discounted the UK?
No.
Especially when talking about the Beatles.
I would hope
or
not.
The solo Beatles.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you could ask our friend, you know, Dylan Seavey. He knows all the chart placings because he's working on a really killer book right now. So.
Hey.
Andy.
So what?
I didn't know about this, but I'll take an excuse to be angry at him too.
Okay, fine. Well, a little plug for you there, Dylan.
all right, so what was that? Was that
you.
Okay, Bogey music, you're seven.
Is your
again,
six.
Yeah, it's my six. I like the guitar work that goes through. I like the echo, like the, you know, the, his
crazy
voice. Yeah, his voice on here is really cool. I dig it. Yeah, and it's crazy. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and now let's see. So, oh, somebody just had a, they just had, where'd they have bogey music? Somebody had added a five. Hold on. I lost it. No, maybe, you know, let's see. Christian says, we recognize U.S. and U.K. only.
Okay. What about Canada? Yeah. What about Canada?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Canada's just.
Here listen, we go. I really dig the echo on a lot of the songs that he does with his vocals on this too. You know, so and that you know, and this one's no exception. So
true.
Right, so that's, Bill, yeah. So that's,
Bill says, with a few exceptions, McCartney always fares better in the U.S. charts. Yes, except with like Once Upon a Long Ago, which we didn't even get in this country.
Exactly. Yeah, Mullican-Tire, you know.
So it's certain times they chart better, or if it was only released in the UK. So
right, you know, but Flowers in the Dirt charted number one in the UK where it didn't hear. Broad Street charted at number one in the UK where it didn't hear, you know.
Yeah, so. Because three charted at number
one. Because they, yeah, because they know what's up over there, unlike us.
Hey, okay, so I have a question. Can we kick Tim from the chat? He just said Canada never matters, sadly.
he's joking. He's busting chops. Come on.
I want him out of here. Get him out.
No. All right, so
we're top five, buddy.
All right, so we are in the top, kicking it off with me?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Number five for me is...
Oh, wow.
Which I'm sure you probably have.
But you're not playing an episode of Paul or Nothing over there, are you?
No.
Oh, boy.
That's how he opens his show.
Actually, I know. He does.
Who?
Yeah.
The other one.
The other one. That's our competitor. And he always says we don't mention him enough. So we're going to mention him because he mentions us. So yeah, okay, Paul or Nothing, Sam Wiles. You know, shout out to you, Sam. Good on you. Number five for me, Temporary Secretary.
Okay.
That's gained a lot of momentum over the last decade or so. Yeah. He played it live in 2016.
Yep.
I saw him play it live.
Lucky you.
Yeah. So, you didn't. No. You did, it wasn't in the set list.
No,
I saw him here in New Jersey play it. And it was
cool.
It was early. It was fantastic. To see him play this song. You either love it or you hate it. And
yes, I've noticed that. It is either a love or hate track. Absolutely.
You either love it or you hate it, and I probably didn't like it as much as younger, and but I like it. I mean, there's a whole bunch, you know, the middle of it is cool. The whole she can be a belly dancer.
Yes. Dig that part a lot.
That's part great.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Let me catch up on comments here.
Yeah. Joe still with us?
Joe? Who, Mayo?
Yeah.
He was never here.
Did he join us? Oh, he wasn't here? Okay, I thought he was. Yeah. I thought you said Joe.
He was, if you believe, hard enough.
Yes. Yeah. See, we're getting a lot of comments on this Temporary Secretary. Owen had it.
Tim, I'm relieved. Sorry, I lashed out at you. I get defensive of Canada.
Tom Brennan had it also at five. Thank you, Tom. Fran does not like it. Oops. Great to hear Temporary Live 2016.
Yeah.
David has the 12-inch single of Temporary Secretary. I've been looking
excellent
for the damn thing for decades.
You don't have it yet?
I have the 12-inch. I don't have the cover because the cover is incredibly hard to come by.
Right.
Let's see. Jamie, Temporary number five, coming up in two. Susan, well, I love Temporary Secretary. It comes in second place for me. Oh, then you'll have some company then.
Yes.
Let's see. So, yeah, and he was only joking, Mr. Canada, by the way.
I know. I already addressed that.
Okay. So, yeah, number five. Number five.
All right, Ethan.
Go, you're up.
All right, I need to pull up my list. Number five, what did I have? Summer's Day Song.
Mm. Okay.
See, those three kind of are right next to each other.
Right.
And this is the last one I'll have, like, a comparison. Actually, no, not that's not even true. This, to me, sounds like Brian Eno a little.
Okay, I could hear that.
Like the Mellotron. Right. It's just
it's like, perfect.
I thought you would have had
the song to take pills to.
Well, that's a bit excessive.
That's hearsay.
I thought Tom would have.
Oh, you laughed a little too hard at that one.
Yeah.
I thought Tom, you would have had this one a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's just slow.
This time slow is good.
But you hated Waterfalls, so.
Yes.
Yep. I didn't say I hated any of these songs.
Neither did I.
I
didn't say
I hated. Mouth.
Andy, you're misrepresenting us here, Andy.
Exactly.
Oh, well, I call it like I see it. Deal.
If you. Backhand is coming your way, my friend.
Good luck, 3,000 miles away, guy.
There, call from
Jersey. Jersey. We invented the freaking backhand.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thomas,
just go play with your gravy, okay?
I will.
Got yourself a gun.
Thank you. Thank you, Ethan. He gets it. Go, Tom. Four.
Four. Wait, you didn't. No, it's five.
Five.
All right. On the way. Love the guitar playing. I love the sound effect, the vocal sound effects. Yeah, and right, it was a fan watching pointed out that B.B. King did a great cover of this on the Art of McCartney. And yeah, I dig the guitar playing. I really love when he plays guitar because, you know, I've said before he's an underrated guitar player, and I wish he would, you know, rock out more, you know, on guitar on albums like he did with McCartney 3. You know, he rocked out a little bit more, and he did more good guitar work on that album than he had.
Let him do Let Me Roll It. We know how much you love that.
Well, you know, there's a problem with that. Listen, there's no reason that song couldn't have had a guitar solo. Listen to the guitar
I'm
solo.
I'm here to help the chemistry. Listen, I feel like I'm fracturing the whole operation.
Listen to the guitar solo at the end of 1985, and you'll know that he's very capable of doing a really good guitar solo. You know,
this one, this song is slow though too.
No, it is. But yeah, and I agree. But the guitar playing, I think, really does it for me. And you know, I like his drum. I've always liked his drumming too. I think his drumming is really good on this. But okay. It's the guitar playing for me that really does it for me on this song.
Okay.
You know, bluesy.
Very bluesy. Yeah. It's all over the place. To go from Temporary Secretary to this is just like a left turn. It's like, whoa.
Kind of David Gilmour-y almost.
Very.
Well, they were buddies. They're buddies.
They were. They are.
They still are.
Yeah, all right. So that was your five.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going into the top four. Number four for me, you both had it. You've all talked about it already. Summer's Day Song. Ethan just had it a song ago. I've always enjoyed this song.
No.
Peaceful, tranquil. I'm in a good place when I listen to this song. If I've had a crappy day, I throw this song on and everything's fine. That's what this song is. It's what this song always has been for me. I know it's slow, to Tom's point. It's kind of just whatever, but to me it's always been fantastically arranged, beautifully arranged. The Mellotron flutes, as we talked about, echoing Shades of Strawberry Fields. And listen, there's like four lines to the song. It doesn't really go anywhere.
No.
But doesn't need to.
But he's done that before. I mean, Shades of, you know, riding the Jaipur when Serene drops.
Very, yeah.
You know what I mean.
So, yeah, Summer's Day Song to me is perfect, pure McCartney.
Okay.
And that's why I had it at four. So
excellent.
Ethan.
My number four is on the way.
Mm. Good for you, buddy.
Wow. So you had that in the top five. Wow.
Yeah.
Same things that Tom said, pretty much. Guitar, well, I love the effects on his vocals.
Yeah.
I forgot how much I liked this song until I put this on to rank these tracks.
Yeah.
As the title says.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay there, Hunyadi.
All right. Number four, Dark Room. I dig the hell out of this track. You know, and to me, it's just, I love it because it's kind of creepy in a way. You know, let me show you to my dark room. What is it, you know? What is it about his dark room? You know, I really dig. You know, and the ho-ho-hee-hee-hee, you know, at the end is really cool. You know, musically, I think the synth work on this one is really cool. I like the ding-ding-ding-ding. I like how it opens. Really cool. Just how it's really is kind of slow and then it builds up. You know, I dig everything. You know, the come along, come-a-come-a-come-a-come-along. You know, I dig that as well. You know, Come on. Yeah.
Again, there's you know, so where this album is a vocal workout.
Yes.
It comes with, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Now, Christian says Darkroom has a nice groove. Absolutely does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, if you're in a McCartney 2 mode and you're just listening to it, you're not going to skip any of these tracks.
No, absolutely not.
But you're just going to rank them, and that's what we're. That's
I got close with one of these days.
You know, we're just ranking them. So,
right.
So interesting. So, Darkroom is your 4.
Yeah, Darkroom is my 4. Love it. Always love. This is when I first heard this album for the first time. It was definitely one of the songs that I gravitated towards right off the bat. This was not a grower for me at all. It was just an instant McCartney tune that I've always loved. Yeah.
Okay. So they're kicking it back to me for the top 3 now. We're kicking off the top 3 choices for each of us. Here, my number 3 is the album opener.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Listen. It's a great song. And now the top 3, this is for me, the strongest songs on the album. I think you're both going to have this up there. I know this is where are you going to have it?
We all have it up there. Yeah.
Where are you going to have it? Is it going to be 1, 2, or 3? We'll see. Mm. Definitely remembered more for the video, which was absolutely phenomenally made produced by Keith McMillan. And we talked about it in our episode on the McCartney Years DVD box set that Tom and I did months ago. It got a 4K remaster a few months ago.
4K remaster. It's not a 4K remaster.
You know, well, it's better than what it was.
You can't 4K remaster videotape.
Videotape. That's true.
You can upscale it a little bit. But listen, again, the live version, which you got in here, if you had the album, the live version from Glasgow in 79 was thrown in here too. And that was the version that actually became the hit. John Lennon famously heard this song, and he liked the studio version better.
Yes, I agree.
I'm with
John on that one.
But the live version is the hit in this country.
Yes.
And in the UK,
correct.
It's that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of comments here. It's the song that got John back into the studio.
One of the reasons,
right. Bill Leary says the UK had it right, ranking the studio version number 1 on the charts. You
exactly.
like the studio version better? I do too. Hey, but the live version's good too, though.
No, and they would have definitely played that if they did the U.S. tour in 80. It was a number 1 hit here, you know, and it would have got a lot of attention. You know,
Lawrence Schubert told us
that. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a fun song. It's a great song. It's a catchy song.
Very fun. This is pure McCartney right here, in my opinion. Yeah.
Absolutely. Susan says the 3 is coming up for her also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. So coming up is fantastic. However, I did like the live flip side better. And I also like that B-side, Lunchbox Odd Socks, which goes back to Wings. That was Kevin. So that's my number 3. Over to our guest host, Ethan.
I've been waiting to talk about this one. Number 3 is Bogey Music, baby.
I knew it.
Love it.
I thought you would have had it at 1.
No, I have something more conventional at 1.
Okay.
It is fantastic. I love it sounds like a tinny drum machine. It sounds like 50s rock and roll, but from like a bizarro dimension. Like, I think what I had written was Bill Haley from a nightmare bizarro dimension. The effect on the vocals gives it this like fever dream quality. I love that the like 50s like da is done with the Mellotron for some reason.
Yeah.
It's weird. I love it. It sounds a bit like some of the stuff on Prince's Sign of the Times album.
Oh, yeah, good. I like that. Yeah.
But it's oh my god, I love this song.
Yeah.
This is McCartney 2 to me.
It is. It really is. Comment here for you, Tom. Lennon was writing songs prior to Coming Up. I think the narrative that Coming Up got him back into the studio is a little overrated.
Yes.
Well, it was a little. Mark and Marcus chimed in with that. And that's a fair statement. It's probably a little overrated. You know, we know, according to Fred Seaman, he heard Coming Up and liked it. I don't think he heard the song was like, I'm going back to record. He probably liked it, but it wasn't enough to drive him back to do it. But
Andy, this is a family-friendly show.
So I'm just kind of just giving you the narrative. Good show. Listen, I knew you'd have Bogey Music in your top 3. I knew it's McCartney 2. This is what it is. Over to you, Thomas.
All right, number three. You know, I liked what you said about Summer's Day song, where it's like if you had a rough day, stressful day, you come in and that's the song you play. This song right here for me is a song that I've really started appreciating since the archive release, and that's One of These Days. And that for me is like, you know, you had a rough day, you come in and, you know, you listen to this song, you know, lyrics like, you know, see what's right, see what's there and breathe fresh air. You know, I mean, it just puts it in perspective, really. And, you know, and I think this was influenced by the whole Hare Krishna.
Yes, you know, he mentioned that.
Yeah, right. So, you know. Yeah, ever after, brief fresh air. Yeah, it, you know, exactly. See, and this is like my favorite of the three slower songs, because it's not. I don't think it's as slow as the other two. It kind of moves a little bit, and I like it too because it's that great day. It's when winter comes.
To close an album.
Exactly.
To close an album with a nice,
really
kind of
cool closer. You know, with nice. Simple, easy, soft closer, which, you know, is good. It's good.
Yeah, and that's a great observation in terms of how he closes his albums. This is one of those.
Right.
It's got a nice kind of doubling up guitar effect here towards the end of the song too, where the guitars kind of double and repeat.
Yeah,
you know, and then the whole "it's there, it's round, right. it's that
yeah,
whole bit." You know,
see right there. I always thought that was Linda. You know, we're helping him with the like the backing vocals kind of thing, but that's really him, Paul.
Yeah, it is.
I don't, you know, but I thought it sounded like Linda because it's kind of a little bit of a higher pitch.
It is. But again, he could have been with the trickery
playing with the vocals.
Tapes,
exactly.
He could have done
exactly.
that.
Exactly. But One of These Days is a song that I'm completely in love with right now, and it's a pure McCartney song for me. Absolutely.
I couldn't agree with you more, brother. Yeah. David says, coming up number two in the UK, he's played it live. Has he played it live in the USA? He has. He heard him play it in Liverpool in 79. Was that at the Royal Court Theatre there, David Jackson? It probably was. He's played it live in the US. Of course he has.
Yeah, I think he played it live in the for the 93 tour.
Yeah, yeah. David Jackson also agrees with your comments on One of These Days.
Cool.
One of These Days is Tom Brennan's number two. Nice ballad to end the album, like Warm and Beautiful, to your point.
Cool.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Rounding it back to me now.
Yes.
Well, this is my number two. One of These Days, as Tom just mentioned. So it rolls into it. And it's everything that Tom said about this song, I completely agree with. It's interesting. It sounds like you kind of only came around to this, though, recently.
Because it wasn't one that I really cared for the first few times that I heard this album.
Yeah. This one for me, years ago, I just fell in love with this song as a young kid, in the 90s. I instantly gravitated towards this song, and this was a crown jewel of a track for me. I just knew it. I knew it playing the album. I'm like, this is it. This is what Paul McCartney is when he writes something. I mean, a shame that we'd even imagine playing this song live and having people would actually like it. You know?
Oh, I think so. It would be great in the acoustic set.
In the acoustic set of his concert,
absolutely.
It'd be fantastic. You know,
yeah.
So and you know he's done. You know, so he's played a couple songs with this album now with Temporary Secretary.
This would have been good, like if back to back with Coming Up, because Coming Up wasn't on an album when they played it in '79, right?
No.
I mean, So they that's the first time they heard that song. So I think this would have been a great song to play during that '79 tour as well.
Would have been a nice time to play that. Yeah,
exactly.
For everything that Tom said, I totally agree 1,000% with what he said, and that's why it's my number two. So over to you there, guest co-host.
My number two is Coming Up.
Conventional?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Coming Up. What can you say? What's always gotten me about this version that the live version doesn't have is that weird kind of sped up backing vocals in the chorus. That's always, that doesn't get old for me. Like, I could listen to this song a billion times and not get.
You know what would be cool if he actually tried to play this live with the studio way? Impossible. Right. Imagine if he tried to do that now.
Right.
You know, like with that whole arrangement, you know.
It'd
you
be interesting.
You could do it now.
Yeah,
you could
with
do it with
Wix
now.
Yeah.
You know, and just instead of playing it, you know, the old live way, which is, again, it's like a totally different song. It's totally different song.
Yeah.
It doesn't hit the same for me.
No. But us Americans, you know, this was like single, so Columbia Records was like, we got to have that on this album, so throw it into the record. Okay, we'll throw a single A-side thing in there.
Right.
I don't know if Columbia did that here, but I have it.
Well, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
They made their way up here.
Of course they did. Of course they did. So they just threw it in there.
Canada's
anyway.
Basically just French for Chicago, isn't it?
So Ethan had coming up as his two.
Okay.
Thomas, you're up.
I'm going with Temporary Secretary as my number two. Okay. You know, again, this was like after coming up, which I had always known, and just like, it's just normal to me. But then when I first heard this album, and then, like, you know, it starts off with do-do-do-do. I mean, you first hear that, and you're just like, you know, jaw drops. It's like, what am I listening to?
What the hell am I listening
to?
What
is this? But then, you know, then the acoustic starts coming in and his vocals start coming in. And then all of a sudden, after more and more listens, you don't mind that. You don't mind that. I mean, you start really liking it. And then you start loving it. And I just love that. And then I knew that I need a, you know, I had a, I worked in restaurants all my life, so I had a server that I used to work with. Her name was Anita. So I'd always used to say Anita instead
would
of
you?
Anita. You know, so I just had a lot of fun with her with that, but she didn't have no clue what I was talking about, obviously. But and that part, like you said too, you know, she could be a belly dancer. I don't need a true. You know, that part is
minutes
or whatever.
This part.
Yeah. And this like daytime nighttime suffering in a way is an anthem for women, you know.
Yeah, the plight of women, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Very true, very true.
The vocal effects on this track are really cool, and it's so cool when I saw the track listing the day after he, you know, started playing the song. My jaw just dropped, and I'm like, why isn't he coming to Arizona for this?
It was cool. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable to see him play it. It was so early in the set list too.
Right.
There's a comment. Sounds like Check My Machine is ranked number one. If Check My Machine was on this record, it would be my number one.
We know that. Let's see. Note about Paul in the USA. He's the only artist to hit number one on the singles chart as a part of a duo, trio, quartet, and a quintet, but never solo. Wow.
In the US?
Yeah. Is that right?
Number
one. No, but Paul is the only artist.
No, Take It Away was Take It. No, not Take It Away. No, he might be right.
Think about it. Wings songs went to number one, but that was a group. What solo? I mean,
okay, Not Another Day. Uncle Albert and Admiral Halsey is recognized as Paul and Linda. Right, yeah.
Which, come on, I mean, they're splitting hairs there, but.
Yeah.
Come on.
But, you know, he could be right.
That actually sounds pretty accurate. I mean,
yeah.
A part of a duo, which we pull into a trio, Wings, a quartet, right. Beatles, quintet, but never solo. Wow.
Yeah. Well, he did in the UK.
I am right.
In the UK, he was like a duo with Ebony and Ivory, right? I think was number one. Pipes of Peace was number one. So that would have been the solo.
Yeah.
And then Wings would have been Mullah McIntyre.
Yeah, he's right. He absolutely is right. So good. That's a good observation.
Yeah.
So.
But Temporary Secretary is just, I think it's just a great track that, you know, like we said earlier, it's that love it or hate it track.
Yeah.
And I'm still dumbfounded with the people that don't like this track.
Yeah. Which there's a couple, one or two that I might know on here, but they didn't like it. All right. So
that's okay. That's okay.
That's okay. When we are at number one,
everyone's allowed to be wrong.
They are. And I might be with my number one choice, which you probably can guess now because I haven't said it. My number one is Waterfalls.
Ugh.
You are the worst.
No, you're the worst. How about that?
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Listen,
I'm fine with it. I'm fine.
I was told I was not allowed to say the F word.
No, you're not.
So you're pushing me to my limits here.
You're not. This is a show that this is a G-rated show.
G-rated. You said Fred Seaman earlier.
I love everything about this song. Maybe it's a little slow. It's a little long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim doesn't like this choice. I've always enjoyed it. If this song was 8 minutes, I would be happy with it.
It probably was.
You would though, wouldn't you?
I would, because I'm a proggy rock person, so I would have dug it.
Exactly.
This is a great song.
So I'm sure Paul has a 20-minute instrumental version of this in the vault somewhere.
I'm sure he does. Nice acoustic stuff. And listen, you got the acoustic stuff in here.
Yeah.
The synths come into it. Very emphatic vocal delivery in here. Just a tender bow. Crappy video, but, you know, with the polar bear. But and it was a real-life polar bear, by the way.
It's 80s Paul McCartney. Do you really have that high expectations for a music video? Even coming up was a little...
No, that's great. That's legendary. But Waterfalls...
Great in concept, a little shaky in execution.
It's a simple... Waterfalls is a simple message. Does it get repetitive, to Tom's point? Yes, it gets repetitive, but...
Does Waterfalls have a message?
Sure. He needs love.
It's a great song. It's a great message. And then it's a darker song. He often said, too, when he was asked about this... It was if there was one song that was going to get a lot of a big or you know orchestral treatment, this
it would have been this.
Could see that maybe with a little orchestral treatment on this, maybe it helps it. He often said too. He said in another interview that Ozzy Osbourne actually dug this was Ozzy Osbourne's favorite song on the album too. Mm-hmm. So believe it or not,
I would like to hear this song just maybe like sped up just a touch. You know, just to see if there, you know, if there was any difference in how I might feel about this, kind of like how I feel the drumming in Free as a Bird is just way too slow. But I don't hate this song either. So, but it's fine. Yeah, so I'm fine with it being your number one.
You know? Thank you, co-host. Thank you. Thank you very much. Go ahead, co-host. Guest co-host. It's your number one track.
Temporary secretary, baby. Temporary secretary.
Okay. All right. I could, but I'm not gonna lambaste you.
We're different people.
We thank God for that.
I'm from polite Canada.
Yeah. I'm from Jersey.
Are you?
Yeah.
You haven't mentioned it before, have you?
Once or twice. But temporary secretary. Now
this morning.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you dig bogey music, so I'm not surprised that you have this song as your number one.
I mean, it is the theme song to Paul or Nothing, after all.
It is.
Sam Wiles, we're talking to you, mate.
And the single best experience I've had at a concert was when I saw Paul back in 2016, and I didn't know this song was in the set list, because I'm the worst kind of person who has set list like FM on his phone.
And
like,
as you're going through the concert.
I don't like suspense. So it's like, oh, what's he going to play next?
Right.
But I decided not to do it. And then all of a sudden, like he had played, you know, like Can't Buy Me Love or something. And then all of a sudden you just hear the.
Right.
And I about crap my pants. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We got a comment there. We want to catch up on Keith. Kevin's asking one more try to get you guys to mention the Twin Freaks version of Temporary Secretary. Yes, it was on the 2005 version of Twin Freaks. With Twin Freaks, if you don't know, it is the mashup of all of his music, and it's on there too. And great. You know, again, it's all that pre-show music that you hear. You know, right.
Yeah,
and that's what this is. So thank you, Kevin, for bringing that to our attention.
Yep. We'll have to do a show about Twin Freaks soon one day. You know,
we absolutely will. Because there's great mashups of all his music on that as well.
Actually, I might even add, this isn't even just my favorite McCartney song on the record. This is my favorite McCartney song, full stop.
Whoa. Hardcore.
Out of the entire catalog.
Interesting.
Save for maybe My Brave Face.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Well, Thomas, you're up.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's Thomas the, H. you know, it's the hit, you know, it's coming up. I really don't see how any other song on this album can be better than this song. I mean, it's the most melodic. I think it's the most commercial. You know, I think it's the best, you know, it's the funnest. I mean, not that that has anything to do with it, but, you know, again, you know, a cool, fun video to go along with it. I think the video, and you know, there's times where a video will make a song better or make a song worse.
What do you think in this case?
I think they're both equal. I think the video is just as good as the song.
Good
point. You
know,
this song didn't need a good video, and I don't think a bad video would have ruined the song.
No, but they're both so good.
Exactly. So it definitely, you know, definitely screamed, you know, give me a good video, which I, you know, he delivered with, you know, it's such a classic video, you know, but yeah, I love it. I love the I mean, it's kind of like a kazoo. He's playing like a kazoo with a sound effect or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a side. This whole album is a side that you'd like to see Paul do a little more of. I know Ethan would like to see that.
I was hoping with McCartney 3 that he would do more experimental stuff like this.
Yeah. You know, and I guess you could kind of say with the Fireman stuff he did, but that was just more kind of just house and
the
stuff.
Last Fireman album was like over 10 years ago,
right? And and that was really more of like a Paul McCartney true solo album anyway,
right?
It's but not something like something the
where he's just all by himself, which you would have thought McCartney 3 would have been, where he could just throw everything in the kitchen sink, which, you know, he did a little bit, but he didn't take the risks that he did on this one.
Hey, what about Lavatory Lil?
let's see, David, what video did they show in the USA as the live version, the hit? The regular video.
Yeah, it's the regular video. Yeah.
You know, where like the 7 or 8 different poles where they...
Yeah.
For 1980 technology, that was...
Like a Buddy Holly Paul. You had Beetle Paul on there.
He had to do it every time. He had to do that. He had to perform that.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And then the video editor had to do that. 1980. That was no small.
Yeah. Thing. And then the fact that, you know, he was like off key with one of the horn player, one of the brass players, where one of the two of them warm up and he's out of step, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good
Susan,
stuff.
Susan, our friend, said the video for Coming Up was very inventive. The one for Say, Say, Say is the only one that I can think of that's better.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That's what happens when you get the Michael Jackson production team.
Step right up. You know,
let me tell you all about Mac and Jackson.
Michael Jackson. I'll try one. Okay.
I'll buy your song.
Woo! Okay, we're having to get Kid O'Toole on about that one. We haven't talked to him about it. Yeah.
Thank you, Bill Weir. I was about to say that, but I didn't want to be a smartass.
He wasn't modeling Buddy Holly. He was Hank Marvin.
Oh, is it Hank Marvin? Okay, I thought it was Buddy. Okay.
Yeah, it's Hank Marvin. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I mean, you could see the similarity a little bit. Yeah. But
they're both dorky, you know, glasses, Stratocaster.
Yeah. And the guy, and he doing the drummer. I think it was supposed to be John Bonham, right?
Yeah, but the hair didn't really represent Bonham, really.
Neither did the chin beard, really, either,
you know.
No.
So
that's, there's the
other McCartney. Yeah, McCartney 2.
Those are our tracks ranked, all 11 of them for the 1980.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to tell you, Ethan, one of my favorite thumbnails of yours from the show is the temporary secretary with Chip Manager's face. I think that was done very well. So good job on there.
That was one of the first graphics I did where I was starting to run out of ideas on my own and started taking requests from the guest.
Gotcha.
And so I sent, you know, Chip a message saying, like, is there like an album or a single that you'd like me to do? And he said, the cover single for Temporary Secretary. I'm like, okay, I'll have a whack at that.
Cool.
Yeah. So
very cool. Yeah. So we got,
Yeah,
this is great. Don't forget, we've got, if you're watching live, we got the great Gabe Dixon coming this weekend. We interviewed him last night, and that was a lot of fun. He told some great stories about working with Paul during the Driving Rain sessions and playing during the concert for New York, and then also the other show, the benefit show, that the Landmines benefit show, I think it was, right?
Oh, the one with Paul Simon? In June.
Yeah, he did that. So that was a lot of fun talking about, you know, wanting to, take his own path, you know, instead of
he could have toured with McCartney, but he followed his dreams and did his own thing.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. So look for that this Saturday. Ethan, tell us about Fans on the Run for for the, you know, the one person watching that might not know. Because I, you know, you're a big hit. You're a star, my friend.
You're overestimating my listener base. I have access to the numbers.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, let's hear it, my friend. Come on.
Basically, I bring someone on, like take Tom Hunyadi or the other one, Andy Nichols.
Bro.
Andy, I just want to clarify, you know I'm kidding. I love you,
I know.
But yeah, it's I bring someone on and we just talk about, you know, their personal history as a Beatle fan. You know, how they first discovered the Beatles, all that good stuff, favorite song. Which there's always a correct answer, but the guest doesn't always know that.
Right. So where can they find your show?
They can find it everywhere they can find your show.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Say Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbay, Pod something.
Yeah.
And probably about 47,000 other services that Podbean just kind of slides it to.
There you go.
And sliding. I should probably plug... stay tuned, David. I might.
What do you say? What's the? What
He said, Ethan, can you interview two blokes from Nothing Is Real podcast?
Okay, let's do it. Get them on.
A couple more comments here to catch up on. What did the other Beatles think about McCartney 2? Is there anything written on record? Off the top of my head, I don't think
just
so.
Other the than John
just
comment.
Just the John comment.
Yeah.
Don't know what the Jew, you know, there could have been a little bit of a blur, but I don't think any other Beatles had any really public reaction to this album. Susan said, is it weird that Michael Jackson's love interest in the Say, Say, Say video was played by his sister?
Well, if you don't know it, it's not weird, but, you know.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Listen, well, hey, when I was 10 when that song came out, I was.
Who was it? Which sister? Which sister? Janet?
LaToya? No, LaToya. The older sister.
The one with the snake and with the psychic hotline.
Okay. So. Well, this has been fun.
Yeah, thanks
actually,
a lot.
Can I give one more plug?
Yes.
Because I probably
as long as you keep doing the thumbnails, you can plug all you want.
Sure. I also co-host another Beatle podcast.
Yes.
Called When They Was Fab with Ed Chen and Lonnie Pena.
There you go. Andy and I have been privileged to be on that show as well. So yeah, check that out. When They Was Fab with Ed Chen, Lonnie Pena, and mystery guest Ethan Alexanian. So yes, good show.
So,
congratulations on scoring that gig.
Yeah, good job on you there, sir.
Yeah. So, so find us at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. Email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Our website, twolegspodcast.com. And please, if you haven't subscribed yet to our YouTube channel where you're watching right now, please subscribe. Well, we'd really appreciate it. We're really working hard to get 1,000 subscribers here. Thank you very much. So everybody,
if you haven't subscribed, why haven't you?
Yeah, right. We will see you next week for Tug of War.
Yeah, baby.
Yes. That's, yeah. And polling. Yeah. I hate that part.
Anyway. Good night, everybody. Yeah.